Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we take a deep dive into prophecies currently being fulfilled in Israel, and Greg Patton will have an encouraging moment of living in today's world. Thank you for spending part of your day with us. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Proclaimed on this broadcast continually since 1933 because of you. Watchmen on the Wall and SWRC is a listener-funded ministry that relies on you for our financial support. Please continue to pray for us, and please give. You can give your gift online at swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Thank you. One of the most amazing Bible prophecies that has been fulfilled in recent history occurred on May 14, 1948, when the state of Israel was reborn. On this, the 73rd anniversary of the reestablishment of the nation of Israel, Dr. Larry Spargimino and James Collins discuss seven prophecies currently being fulfilled in Israel today.
The Bible is overflowing with prophecies. Many of them revolve around the Messiah, how people will know when he comes, and what he will do when he arrives on earth. There are also many prophecies that give the signs that will indicate that the end of the age is near. However, the vast majority of Bible prophecies revolve around one subject, Israel.
Today is the 73rd anniversary of the reestablishment of the State of Israel, which occurred on May the 14th, 1948. To commemorate this historic prophetic event, we would like to share with you seven prophecies currently being fulfilled in Israel today.
The first prophecy being fulfilled in Israel today is the Jewish people are being regathered in unbelief from the four corners of the earth. This prophecy is found in Isaiah 11:11 and 12. There we read, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth."
This prophecy started being fulfilled in the years leading up to Israel's rebirth as a nation. Today, Jews from every corner of the world have returned to live in Israel. In a little over 70 years, the Jewish population of Israel has grown from 500,000 to over 7 million.
The descendants of Jacob are at last able to return to the land they were promised, and many of them have done exactly that. They make their way to Israel from almost every country on earth in fulfillment of the Bible's prophecy.
The fact that the Jewish people are back in their land is a miracle. It is a greater miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. As a matter of fact, we're told in Jeremiah 23:7, that a time would come where they would no longer say, "The Jewish people, as the Lord lives who brought us out from Egypt," but "as the Lord lives who led the descendants of Israel out from the north country and from the south country and from the corners of the world into Israel.
A second prophecy being fulfilled in Israel today is the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in Ezekiel 37:21 and verse 22, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all."
This prophecy was fulfilled on May the 14th, 1948. After being scattered from their land for almost 2,000 years, the Jewish people came back to their homeland and reestablished the nation of Israel. Something like that has never happened before in the history of the planet. No other people have lost their nation, have been scattered over the earth, and suddenly been restored and come back into their own homeland and created a new nation. It has just never happened before.
On May the 15th, 1948, the day after the nation was reestablished, five Arab nations attacked Israel. From then until today, Israel has had to fight war after war and endure terrorist attack after terrorist attack.
Amazingly, Israel has withstood the onslaught because Israel's fate is not in the hands of its enemies. Israel's fate is in the hand of God Almighty.
A third prophecy being fulfilled in Israel today is the Jews are once again reoccupying the city of Jerusalem. This prophecy is found in Zechariah chapter 8. There the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and in righteousness."
This prophecy was fulfilled on June the 7th, 1967. Up to that point, Jerusalem had remained in Gentile hands for over 1,000 years. It is true that some Jews remained living inside the holy city's borders, but Jerusalem remained under the control of other nations and people.
For many years, Jerusalem was ruled by Rome. Then it was taken over by Muslims. After that, Jerusalem was held by Christian crusaders. It went back and forth between the Muslims and the crusaders for some time. Later, it was held by Great Britain. Even after the establishment of the State of Israel, Jerusalem was not truly back in Jewish hands.
It was not until the Six-Day War that the city, that was the center of the Jewish world, was once again controlled by those who built it. The Six-Day War was a brief but bloody conflict fought in June of 1967 between Israel and the Arab states of Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. When the Israeli army took back East Jerusalem from Jordan and reunited the city, it was the first time the city of David had been held by the Jews in nearly 1,900 years.
A fourth prophecy being fulfilled in Israel today is a land that was once desolate has become once again a land of agricultural abundance. We see this prophesied in Ezekiel 36, 34, and 35. There the Bible says, "And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited."
The land was in a pitiful condition when the Jews finally returned to their homeland. Towns were leveled, and the land was indeed desolate. Two world wars had left most of the cities damaged, and the actual land of Israel itself was devastated. A large percentage of the land was either desert or covered in swamps filled with malaria-carrying mosquitoes. According to the prophecies in Ezekiel, however, the once ruined land would, quote, "become like the Garden of Eden," close quotes. In terms of agriculture, Israel has done exactly that. Israel has some of the most advanced agricultural technology in the world, and the Israelis have used that technology to become one of the few countries that exports more food than they import.
A fifth prophecy being fulfilled in Israel today is the revival of the Hebrew language. The worldwide dispersion of the Jewish people began in 70 AD when the Romans ruthlessly ended their revolt against Roman rule by destroying the city of Jerusalem, including their marvelous temple. This dispersion from their homeland was accelerated after their second revolt was put down in 136 AD. As the Jews were scattered and during the centuries that followed, they gradually stopped speaking their native language. Those in Europe took German and mixed it with Hebrew, producing a hybrid tongue called Yiddish. The Jews who settled in the Mediterranean basin mixed Hebrew with Spanish and developed a language called Ladino.
Hebrew became confined to the synagogues where it was used for Torah readings. By the beginning of the 20th century, most Jews could not understand the Torah readings. For them, it was like a Gentile experiencing a Catholic mass conducted in Latin.
Around 2,600 years ago, the prophet Zephaniah predicted that the Hebrew language would disappear, but would come back again someday. The Bible says in Zephaniah 3:9, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Now, the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy will occur when all the peoples of the world are once again unified in one language, likely speaking biblical Hebrew. Whether this will occur during the millennium or in the eternal state is not made precisely clear in the Scriptures. But we are seeing the beginning fulfillment now with the revival of the Hebrew language, which started when the Jews began to return to their land.
In Israel today, the Jews speak Hebrew. Today, there are nearly 200 book publishers in Israel, and each of them is releasing between 5 and 150 new Hebrew language books per year. An Israeli writer, S.Y. Egnon, was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1966 for his Hebrew language novels. Today, there are about 9 million Hebrew speakers worldwide, of whom 7 million speak it fluently. That is amazing when you consider that 100 years ago, nobody spoke Hebrew.
Number 6 on our list of prophecies being fulfilled in Israel today is that all the nations of the world are coming together against Israel over the issue of the control of Jerusalem. This prophecy is found in Zechariah 12:3, which reads, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it."
The Arab world hates Israel in general, but it seems like everyone from every nation has an opinion on the handling of Jerusalem. Many feel that the holy city should be divided up as it was once before. Many others feel that as a sovereign state, Israel has the right to choose its own capital just like any other nation.
Officially, Jerusalem is the country's capital, but many nations are reluctant to recognize it for fear of angering the neighboring Arab states. That is why it was such a big deal when President Trump moved the American embassy to Jerusalem in 2018 and recognized the city as the capital of Israel.
Control of Jerusalem is today a divisive political question and a serious matter of concern for international policy. Given the number of Arab states, the United Nations often comes down against Israel in its decisions. Today, Jerusalem has indeed become a burdensome stone for all people. The Vatican wants the city put under its control. The United Nations wants it to be internationalized. The European Union is determined to divide it between the Arabs and the Jews, and the Arabs want all of it. Israel says they will never surrender any of it.
Because of the constant state of conflict, the Israeli military has become one of the best in the world. This is also a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. A seventh prophecy being fulfilled in Israel today is Israel will be a warrior like David. This prophecy is found in Zechariah 12:8, which says, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David." Israel is a tiny country surrounded by enemies who would like little more than to have the nation wiped totally off the map. As such, Israel has come to be the embodiment of the phrase, "Though she be little, she be fierce." The Israeli military is widely considered to be one of the best in the world, and their air force is considered to be the very best.
Their military technology is extremely advanced, both in terms of defensive and offensive capabilities. The Iron Dome has successfully shot down scores of terrorist missiles and kept them from landing on their civilian targets. In each of the Arab-Israeli conflicts, Israel was outnumbered badly. In the Six-Day War, Israel stood alone against a coalition of Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Lebanon that was supported by Algeria, Kuwait, Libya, Morocco, Pakistan, and Sudan, Tunisia, and the PLO. Israel suffered less than 1,000 casualties to the Arab coalition's 20,000. The Israeli army successfully captured the Sinai Peninsula, Gaza Strip, West Bank, Golan Heights, and reclaimed Jerusalem in 6 days. During the Yom Kippur War, Israel was once again badly outnumbered by another Arab coalition. Despite this, the Israelis repelled the Arab forces. In accordance with the Bible, each Israeli soldier truly has become as strong as David.
Yes, indeed. The Israeli military is the best of the best. Each soldier has sworn to defend their country by whatever means are necessary. This doctrine is known as the Samson option and is named after the Israelite judge Samson, who pushed apart the pillars of a Philistine temple, bringing down the roof and killing himself and thousands of Philistines. Each Israeli soldier is willing to die like Samson.
The Israeli military policy of victory, no matter the cost, is also seen when Israeli Defense Force officers take their commissioning oath at Masada. Masada was a fortress built as a palace by Herod the Great. It is located on top of an isolated rock cliff at the western end of the Judean desert overlooking the Dead Sea. Masada was the last stand of a group of Jews rebelling against Roman rule nearly 2,000 years ago.
After several months of siege without success, the Romans built a tower on a ramp to try to take out the fortress's wall. When it became clear that the Romans were going to take over Masada on April 15, 73 AD, the Jews took their own lives rather than live as Roman slaves. Today, when Israeli defense officers take their commissioning oath at Masada, they say, "Masada shall not fall again."
Well, these seven prophecies definitely show that God is sovereign and keeps His promises. The fulfillment of Bible prophecy also helps us understand that God is working through the Jews in history to bring history to culmination. The stage is set for the return of Jesus Christ. So we say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." You know, Pastor James, I think it's so wonderful that people talk about the faithfulness of God. Everyone who's a Christian believes in the faithfulness of God. Yet I really don't understand how some Christians can think and maintain, as replacement theology teaches, that God will turn His back on Israel. That doesn't make any sense to me.
God is faithful and will keep His promises to Israel, and He said that He will bless those that bless Israel. He will also curse those that curse Israel. And so it doesn't make any sense to me how you can read the Bible and come away with replacement theology as an attitude, or how you can read the Bible and somehow be against Israel. You know, we're living in dark days when the entire world is coming against the little nation.
Well, God is faithful, and not only is He faithful, He is stronger than any army, than any military. I've often said, you know, even though the whole world is against God, if we're for God, we are on the right side. So, friend, do you know Jesus as personal Savior? These are days of disaster. You know, there are so many flashpoints on our planet when things could go boom all of a sudden. You need to be ready for that day. And I think it's a pity that there are so many who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's face it, there are so many churches, so many ministries telling people about Jesus. He is the answer. Put your faith in Him.
Today's teaching, Seven Prophecies Currently Being Fulfilled in Israel Today, is available by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144, or by visiting swrc.com. Greg Patton is a new friend here at the ministry. Greg is a pastor, evangelist, radio and TV broadcaster, as well as an author and counselor. Over his many decades of ministry, as Greg has traveled across the country, he's encountered, well, a little bit of everything. It's these experiences and stories that he shares in a segment that we call Living in Today's World. It is our hope that these stories will encourage you and cause you to trust the Lord more.
Well, I've been blessed over the years to conduct revivals all over America. In churches amounting to a handful to standing before thousands of people, God has blessed in so many ways. And I've been thrilled to be a part of that. So many lives changed, souls saved. One of the most unusual things that ever happened to me was conducting a revival at Grace Baptist Church in Newcastle, Indiana, so many, many years ago. A pastor that used to be at our church in Roanoke, Indiana, had gotten his own church there at Newcastle, and it was my thrill. The guy that used to sit in attendance and hear him preach was now able to go and conduct a revival meeting there at his church. It was always exciting traveling there, usually traveled with the family. We had a fifth wheel, all the kids piled in, and it was an incredible adventure from coast to coast in America to go preach revival. So we go to the church, and I immediately went to the pastor's house. I understood he was going to be at church, ended up being at his house. And we went there, and when he opened up the door, his countenance was terrible. Something was terribly wrong. I said, "Preacher, what's going on?" He said, "Sharon, come on in, you guys." And so we went in, and I was just kind of shocked to hear the story he was about to tell me. He said, "We have big problems here, Brother Greg." And I said, "Like what?" And he said, "One of my deacons, sheriff's deputy here, was shot to death last night in the emergency room of our hospital." I was in shock. What? I mean, I'm coming to hold revival to challenge the church, to get things stirred up, to get us on track. This is not good, and I don't think this is going to work. So we sat down and talked for some time, and he said, "You know, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do. We're going to pray, but I don't know what we're supposed to do here. Tomorrow morning is supposed to be the start of our revival." And I thought, how can I do this? I'm not even sure I can muster up whatever I need to share with this audience. But we went ahead, and at least we knew we were going to do the next morning. And a pastor would speak a bit and talk a little bit about this horrible occurrence. And then I was going to start whatever God laid upon my heart, reference revival. One thing that was really going to be challenging is, would this woman's husband and children be in church? To my surprise, wow, there they were. Prior to getting things going, she wanted to talk with me. And I thought, "Lord, what can I say? Tell me what to say here now, Lord. You know what the circumstance would be like." So I met with her, and she said, "I want you to stay and conduct this revival." "Excuse me, ma'am," she said, "we've really needed this for a long time." And this is what really struck me. "Maybe my husband's death is exactly what this church needs for revival." My goodness, I'm not sure before or since I've ever heard anything quite like that from a grieving wife who just hours before had been shot to death, serving the community as a police officer. Wow. And I preached. It was hard. I saw her, looked into her eyes several times as I ministered that Sunday morning, and boy, the tears welled up, and it was just something else to behold. And, you know, we've had great revivals, and sometimes churches have preached for weeks prior to our coming and just asked the Holy Spirit of God to meet us there in a very special way, and that souls would be saved and lives would be changed, and yes, that this church would do a turnaround. That's what revival is all about. You're preaching to the choir by and large. There'd be a turnaround and people would get on fire for God again. But you know what? She was right. We had a fantastic revival. I think the funeral was midweek there on Wednesday, and that was really tough. But I can tell you this, other than that night, that Wednesday, this woman never missed a service during that revival. And God was able to reach out and touch so many lives. It was, for the most part, one of the most exciting and best revivals we had ever conducted. You just never know how God is going to work and who is serious about things like this and who are not. I had another occasion preaching in Birmingham, Alabama, and there a man was dying, couldn't get out of the hospital bed that they had at his home. Hospice, I think, had already been called in, and it was one of the first visits Pastor wanted me to make as soon as we got there. Went out, met the man, sweetheart of a man. We prayed with him and asked God to touch his life, and you never know what's going to happen like that. He knew his life was drawing to a close. But here again is one of those shocking things. The very first message that I delivered prior to that, the doors of the church swung open. In came this team with a hospital bed in hand and brought that man right to the front of the church by my pulpit. And he lay there with all those tubes and oxygen and everything going. He made it to the revival. And not only that night, he made it every night that I preached the Word of God. Again, there's someone very serious about his Christian walk and very interested in the church having a real, real revival. Yeah, there are thousands of messages as we live in today's world. This has just been one.
If you like the new segment, Living in Today's World with Greg Patton, please let us know when you call 1-800-652-1144. Conferences are back. Online and in-person conferences are on the schedule. Prophecy, current events in light of Scripture, teaching of the highest caliber. The first conference on the calendar is Saturday, July 3rd in Denver. Registration is now open for all of the conferences online and in person, and we've got some early bird specials that are still available. You can register online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can register by calling 1-800-652-1144. Thanks to your prayers and generous support, we are now broadcasting this program on over 250 radio stations, as well as around the world with our online website, swrc.com. Please invite and encourage folks to tune in online or on their local radio stations. A complete listing of the radio stations that we are on is available at our website, swrc.com. And if you're checking the program out for the first time today, be sure to request your new listener pack. The new listener pack has a welcome letter from our president, a brief history of the ministry, and a special thank you gift. The new listener pack is free of charge for new listeners. So request your new listener pack by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. As we wrap up our week of Israel-themed programs, our Resource Center has some special Israel-related items. In the book, Target Israel, prophecy experts Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinzen explain why Israel is at the center of God's prophetic plan for the future. This book can be yours today for a gift of $15 or more. In our DVD, Touring Israel, you'll travel with Noah Hutchings from Dan to Beersheba and see such biblical sites as the Valley of Elah, where David slew Goliath, Caesarea, where Paul was imprisoned, Carmel, where Elijah overcame the prophets of Baal, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, Masada, plus much, much more. This DVD is available for a gift of $15 or more. And finally, a great companion to go with today's book and DVD offer is the two-disc set, Your Tour of the Holy Land, with nearly 2,000 full-color titled photos that will take you through Jordan and Israel. Combine all three items for a gift of $25 or more. The book, Target Israel, by Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinzen, Touring Israel DVD with Noah Hutchings, and the two-disc set, Your Tour of the Holy Land, can all be yours for a gift of $25 or more. Order yours today by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or go online to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Next week, Pastor Larry Spargimino will open God's Word to explore the deity of Christ, the faithfulness of God, as well as answer your Bible questions. Be sure to email your Bible questions to askpastorlarry@swrc.com. That's askpastorlarry@swrc.com. Trust me, you won't want to miss a single moment of next week's Watchmen on the Wall broadcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.